After a brief hiatus, let us now move back into the midst of our ministry. Take out your document. And for those that are watching by way of the webcast, you can either go into the video or audio section. There is an icon there. If you would click it, this entire document will come up. Repeat after me, scriptural comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. I want you to turn to page 26. We shall move into a new section this morning. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Open your Bibles and we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Our focus is verse 26. Here in reading this passage, in this context, Apostle Paul takes a stand against our conception of how things are viewed. We view most things primarily on the basis of what we see. I'm talking about God's people. Just not the world. That's inherent in all of us. As it relates to our physical makeup, our natural makeup. We assess things based upon how they appear to be transpiring in life. What we call life is here we the matrix. I want to take a few minutes since we've been off of this for a few Sundays and go back into. I want you to turn right quickly to the front of the document.
Well,
says glossary of definitions. You got that?
Yeah.
All right, Brother Deacon, as I call the word, you give the definition. That'll save me a little bit as far as my voice is concerned. Y'all pray for me. I'm having a little difficulties this morning. Actualization.
Actualization, to generate realness, reality, produce in action or provide factually.
Array.
Array, collection, display, assortment, group of organized display.
Artificial intelligence. Read that very slowly.
Artificial intelligence, mechanized imitation of knowledge.
You notice that word imitation, not knowledge, imitation of knowledge. We would deal with that. Authentic.
Authentic, reliable, dependable, accurate, faithful, and affirmable.
All right, let's drop down a little bit. Let's go down into the where it says decree.
Decree, to command, ordain, an order having the force of law or principle, that is, such as a formal and authoritative order.
Dialogue.
Dialogue. information flow in exchange of ideas of discussion.
That's what we were doing over at the college the other night. Amen. All right. Eternality.
Eternality. The sphere or locale of where all are complete in perfection.
Oh, I skipped one that I want to do. Entropies.
Entropies. Systems of consistent disorders.
That's right. That's exactly what we said. Consistent disorders. Organized. Ordered. Pre-designed.
That's right.
Disorder. Functionality.
Functionality. The process of how an entity operates.
Matrix.
Matrix. Visual representation or indications in grids and or patterns of measurements for testimonial documentations.
That's all life is in relationship to what we call life.
That's right.
All testimonies. Everybody say testimonies.
Testimonies.
Last one, and then there are others, but we're going to get into our document. Manifestation.
Manifestation. The outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization.
Perception. Manifestation is what we see. It's a perception. It is only a perception. Of what has been ordered and has come into being through a saying. Who said it?
God.
Hebrews 11 and 3. Let's go to the bottom of page 26. There are two other definitions we're going to give that's not in our glossary. And if you ever go back and add to this, or maybe when we get to some other parts. By the way, this is 60 pages. It's part one. And there's six parts. Nevertheless, repeat after me, everyone. Nevertheless, narrations in physicality, secularity, measures the matrix. Now, wow, that's kind of complex. Anything that is nebulous is unclear. It's confusing. Unclear, confusing. Everybody said narrative.
Narrative.
That's an event. Narrative is an occurrence. And so what we're saying is confusing occurrences that are in physicality, secularity, measures, the matrix. That is the confusing things that we look at. You know why they're confusing? Because we take them face value. We're looking at what we think they are while we miss what they are for. God is a purpose God. You know, as I was talking at the college student. Like it's almost like we think he's, you know, God is like we are. We're just feeling our way through and fumbling and, you know, say, well, what is this? Now let's see how we work this out. You know, and they even teach that God's foreknowledge is Him looking down in the time and seeing what's happening. No. Life is a replay.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh.
You know what a replay is?
Mm-hmm.
those of us that watch the football, what happened is the guy catch the ball and said, well, did he get 2 feet down? I said, well, let's go to the replay. It's up. The essence of what it is not in the frame. They go back to the frames, and I'll be going through this. Oh man, that clock just beats me up. But as we move through life, what comprises physicality, secularity, is our conscious moving through the matrix, which is a set of frames of which God has placed things there in testimonial for the sake of our conscious encountering them. But everything that's there doesn't reside there. In fact, I should say, nothing that's there resides there. Everything that resides in eternality. Where's that? That's in Him, in Christ, in the same. How did it come into being? He said it. He decreed it. Nothing resides in time. Everything resides in eternity. What resides in time are the manifestations. The replay. For our sake, God doesn't need it. God can say something if it never shows up. That doesn't mean anything. It exists in the decree, in the same. Hebrews 11:3. What's appearing is not coming out of the scene. Where's it coming? Out of the same. Again, this is our aphorism around here. Repeat after me. It's not in the scene. It's in God's saying. That's how it exists. That's the only way it exists. Is that God said it. And if God said it, it exists even if it doesn't show up. But on the other hand, if God hasn't said it, it can't show up. This is what we try to drive home in the book. Don't be afraid of God's will. Say creator, that means designer and planner. It's almost like we don't think God has an agenda. We have agendas, but God doesn't have. He's sitting there waiting to see what we're going to do. And then He responds to what we do. We have imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. If God has said it, it must manifest. If God hasn't said it, it can't manifest. Let's read that first paragraph and then we're going to go into the scriptures. Everybody got that? Again, for those that are watching, go into the audio video section, click on the icon. On page 26, this entire document comes up. Nevertheless, a confusing events or narratives in physicality, secularity measures the matrix. That is, confusing events in life. If you just want me to break it down. Of what confuses you because you're taking base value what you see. It measures the matrix. The narrations of humanity exude the so-called innovations in science and technology in these latter generations. Quantum leaps. I don't know how my name got there, but maybe through the internet, I don't know. This thing about quantum leaping. You can manipulate physicality to get what you want. Huh? Now, of course, I allow them to keep me on that list. I want to see what these fellas are saying. Quantum leaps, as analyzed by scientists and technicians, inhibit an incalculable impact in cultured echelons of elegance in every curvature of the world, of the cosmos, of the universe. Physicality, secularities, automations, follow this, communications, illusionary prerogatives. Oh, I hit that the other night. Provisional excursions. Technological conduits. And I put this one in quote. Marvels of soul envisions contemporariness. That is the modern age of explaining things. What do they do? They materialize the seemingly competent processes of the global languages of prevailing scientism. These fellows are the gurus, as we conveyed in our annual pastoral address. They are in charge of what's happening. We look to them to tell us what's happening, instead of looking at the Word of God. These scientific enterprises and all of their so assessed achievements and inadequacies, yes, I said it, inadequacies, comprise intrinsic ingredients of the human venture. But not surprisingly, these presuppositions and methodologies influence theory and practice of every discipline in magic. Spheres. We don't argue. We don't have to argue. We don't have to defend God's word. These solid facts, distinctly in sheer scientism, seek to synthesize ever exponential influx in every field of knowledge, even in so-called religion. We become scientists. But follow this. Yet they fail to qualify valid concerns and relations of what? Manifestations to actualizations. Sometimes you follow scientism. So this happened because that happened. Okay then? Then why does that happen? Why does that happen? They never get to the end of it. And so what they do, they kick the can down the road. Say, well, that's in another universe. You know, parallel universes. You're one thing here and another thing there and so forth and so on. And I wonder if everything is so confused. But the sad part about it is God's people, we're caught up in that.
Yes, we are.
And this is what Paul was fighting. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, to bring this into context, in this chapter, Paul is dealing with customs and traditions and how the world basically, even at that time, seemed to flow. And what he does, when you get down to 26, he said, I'm going against all of that. And unless what I see aligns with what God has said, I'm going to discount it. What you see is only the process. What you see is only the process, which does not of things. What you see is not penetrating into what it's all about. Why is it there? I lost my job. Why did I lose my job? I lost my health. Why did I lose my health? That's the road we need to go down. This happened and that happened, and you know, my best friend and I, we fell out and we're not speaking anymore. But why did that happen? No matter how small it looks, there's purpose for everything that happens. If it's there in the frame and your conscience moved to it, we must always understand, first of all, who put it there? God is a God of purpose. It's there for a reason. We get depressed because of problems. And we sing songs, Lord, move the mountain. And then when God doesn't move the mountain, we're confused. We're frustrated. We're unhappy campers. We're not understanding the reason the mountain is there. God didn't put it there to move it. He put it there to use it. In this passage, Paul speaks about going against the grain. I'm just putting it in today's vernacular. He speaks about how things flow. He talks about warfare. He talks about sowing and reaping. He talks about planting and harvesting. I'm just kind of going, you know, through things. Talks about how things should flow. And then I just want to drop down as we look into the latter part of this chapter. We contextualize the part that we want to dwell upon. Verse 19, and for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all. That's basically what Paul is saying here, is that he's not saying this like they quoted here. It's a relationship to what he said in chapter 1 of Romans, when he says that I'm debtor to both what the Jew and the Greek. For those that don't know, I'm become indebted to them. This is what he's saying. Just to kind of, because I have to run through this because we won't get no near where we'll be going. Unless one of these days y'all let me preach about 5 hours. I love those looks. You know I'm just kidding. They preach, and it's translated to the Jew, I became a Jew, that I might be gained Jew, da 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 da, and to the law, to those under the law, and so forth and so on. And what's missing in those verses is that it has not been grammatically examined. And we dealt with that a little bit in the Bible class Wednesday night. Grammatically, when you look at that, what's ignored, Brother Deacon? The passive voice and the aorist tense. Paul was talking about, I don't get with them in order to win them. He was saying that I ministered to them based on the fact that God has pre-assigned to them, to some of them, comprehension of this message. Because it didn't say that I might win them, some of them, right? Huh? Which ones? Those that God has preassigned. This knowledge. I tell the ministry as we, in the ministry class, don't think that it's your skill where you stand up here and you know how well you explain it and cause people to understand. Who's the teacher? Oh, you preach it. And you know what? You preach what's there. Now, on the way to the college the other night, I really did not know what the forum was and didn't know that I was going to end up giving a space for a presentation. But you know what? When Paul went down there to Jerusalem and there was James and Peter and all the big wigs, what did he say? That make no difference to me. I pray that you become so confident in this, if the opportunity ever arose, that you would get up in the White House and talk about it. In the Congress. Not worried about who thinks that you are crazy. So he said here, to the weak is those that weak, and he didn't say, I am made all things to all men. No. First of all, that word men is what?
It's not,
it's italicized. You can strike it out. So he became available to all whom God had prearranged and preassigned this knowledge of this message. That's what he's saying. And in verse 23, he said, this is for the gospel's sake. And here, that I may be, having been partakers of you, and especially as it relates with the gospel's conveyance of things, how things are. Not how they look, how they are. You see, scientism flows in hypotheses, theorems, suppositions. The scriptures give illumination and elucidation. It turns the light on and tells you what it is. And it doesn't skirt around, and neither does it kick the can down the road. You want to know what's going on? You look in the Word of God. Amen. You look to the Spirit of God to tell you what's happening. Otherwise, the longer you look, the dumber you get. No, that thing becomes, you think it's confusing. The more you look at, the more confused it because you're looking at it through the lens of physicality. You cannot explain physicality with physicality.
No, that's right. Amen. Amen.
Only spirituality can explain physicality.
Thank God. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Glory. Amen.
You know, that's why we're no better off than the world. People that don't even know God. We act like them. We react like them. We think. And we have no more peace than they have.
No more peace. No more.
Because we're looking at it through the same lens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what is Paul's move here? So now all run in a race, but one received the prize. They used to teach us that was like receiving the salvation and the Holy Ghost. No. He's, look at the context. He's talking about knowledge of truth, and comprehension. And that's why we're here today. Yes, we praise the Lord, we sang, amen. I love it. But if you walk out of here without learning something, there are times that wife and I, we've gone out to eat, and we go to the buffet and the line, we just hear people talking, people coming in from church. Child, we had church today. Oh, did that man preach? Right? If you were to stop and say, okay, what did he preach about? He said, I don't know, but he sure preached. And that choir song. What did you learn?
You learn. I hear you. Thank God. I hear you. I hear you.
Concerning God's word. Because there's something out there waiting on you. And the best choir in town is not going to remedy it.
No. Amen. No.
You forgot about all about the fact that you were so happy you ran down that aisle. You're so busy now trying to run away from that problem.
Amen. Amen. Oh, glory.
We have to learn. For those that are watching, your daily task is to learn.
Amen. That's to learn. Yes. Amen.
In corroboration, Jesus said what?
Take my yoke upon you.
Take my yoke upon you. What?
And learn of me.
And in doing so, what happens to your burdens?
Your burdens are light.
They're light. This is what Paul speaks of momentarily. Light.
Right.
This is about giving you a heads up on life. Because there's something that's going to come and knock you right side your head. And knock you off your feet.
Absolutely. Amen.
Make you have the worst day you ever had. Read verse 25.
We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 25th verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got it, amen?
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible.
So what we're doing as we're moving through here is to embrace eternality. And the completed accomplishments of all that God has.
Right.
And as we look at time from where? From eternity. We have the eternal view. There's a section in the book that speaks about eternal view, and I want to make sure everybody, you take that chapter and you go through it slowly. Every time Paul is talking about anything in life, he's talking about it from the vantage point of eternity. But you can read that from the Greek.
First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, interlineal Greek text. Verse 25.
25.
And everyone struggling.
Stop! The reason I had you to stop, because the next word, don't you dare quote him. But that's not what that Greek word is. Why do we ask the chief? Why do we go to all the Greek and everything? Because we want to. I can't begin to stand up here and speak to you in relationship to what something is saying until we get it straight. What was said? Now, historically, when you look at the Grace Covenant, these writings, the message, the revelations that were given to Paul, if you see a certain word, you know Paul didn't say it. That word is self-control, and he has translated that self-control. Paul didn't say that. That runs against the grain of grace. That runs against the grain of human depravity. That runs against the grain of humans being incapacitated to do what they should do. So he didn't say that. He's speaking here of struggling. And I also, but Deacon, what is that word? That Greek word there. What is that?
That is a present passive middle participle.
Passive. What's the passive voice?
It's done to you.
So how could that be self-control if it's passive? That is alignment. Alignment with what? What the word of God is saying concerning our struggle. What does the word of God say concerning our struggle? For these light afflictions, what? They're momentarily. And they're working for what? For us, what? For greater eternal weight of glory. And in chapter 8 of Romans, he speaks that, and a verse, I forgot which one now, but he's speaking about, in comparison, they are not what? Worthy to be what? Compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed in us. That what you're going through is not, doesn't compare with who you are. And where you are. Where are you?
In Christ.
So no, I'm down here in the body, and the day is a certain day, and I'm going through this problem and so forth and so on. And that's temporary. Your conscience is moving through that. And it was placed there for a purpose.
Yes.
Finish reading that, Brother Deacon, but don't put self-control there. There's alignment. Let's use that for now.
And everyone struggling in all things align those indeed. Therefore, in order that
why?
A corruptible crown.
You don't end up with on the wrong stick of thinking that's what life is. In the corruptible things.
They may receive.
In the passing human physical things. The things that come but they pass. What are they, Brother Deacon? It's incorruptible. What's incorruptible?
Yes.
That which God has reserved for you, and that's where you are.
Yes.
And that's where your consciousness through the word of God can move from the travails of time triumphantly to eternity. That's where we're going. Because we're not looking at the things seen. But what? Because the things that are seen are what? And things that are unseen to what? The word of God is telling us something. But we were slow learners. We're not listening. Verse 25. And I'm going to have to kind of cut it a little short today. Read.
26.
I'm sorry.
I therefore so run.
You see that Greek word there? Verse 26. Actually, the Greek word there is pining accordingly. You said therefore. That's if you go to the dictionary, to the thesaurus, that would be a word that would, those two words would be grouped. In other words, after you get what we have just gone through here, what's the purpose of you learning this? And what Paul is saying is, now with this knowledge, I accordingly what?
I accordingly so run.
Move through life, what?
As not unclearly.
Not unclearly. Things may manifest or depict or portray as nebulous or unclear and confusing in the matrix. But that's not where I live. Beyond that is the purpose. And that's where that real action is. Read.
So I box as not air beating.
Mm-hmm. So I for I militate, I fight, I box. Okay, all right, I accept that word. Go ahead. Not as air beatings. Don't stop, because we don't have time. We have to pick this up next week. I have to do this in series, since I don't get the 5 hours. Paul said, I'm not out here shadowboxing or beating the air. I mean, that is an idiomatic phrase, which means you're saying something else, and it's understood that you, what you're saying, you mean something else. Like, again, example I gave, I heard my daughter Roslyn talking to one of the grandkids the other day, and she had asked him a question, and he wouldn't answer. And she said, "The cat got your tongue," mm-hmm. which means what? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you speaking? Beat in the air. So I'm not out here going through all of these gyrations like a cat trying in a circle trying to catch his tail. My focus is on God's purpose beyond the processes of the things in time. Oh, we're not going to finish this today. So what is it about? What is life about? What is your life? That translates to who is your life? Who is your life? Christ. What's the purpose of my living? Christ. What's the purpose of our breathing and moving? Christ. Remember in Acts, as Paul was talking to those Athenians on Mars Hill, he said, and I'm going to give the real translation, he said, we live, we move. King James said, we have our being. No. We are. We're in him. Everybody's in him. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. And we understand this. Now we're really able to sing the song. My hope is built on nothing less. And Jesus Christ. What? And his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain. It's unclear. It's confusing. These are narratives that are thinking Sam. We'll take it up next week. You all pray for me. God bless.
Amen. Amen.